Please explain Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. What does it mean? Well, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, here's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." All right. I don't know why somebody asked that. I find that it's a good question. But first of all, let's look at the symbolism, what is meant. You need to understand how those who were listening to Jesus on that day would understand pigs and dogs. Pigs, first of all, were unclean animals. We love them down here in the South. You know, we love our ham, we love our bacon, some of us love chitlins, some of us love, you know, crackling, and a little bit of other things that go with it. But for the faithful Jewish individual, the law of Moses forbade them from eating anything that had to do with a pig. Okay? They were unclean. But not only that, they were typically wild animals, and they were vicious. They were capable of some savage attacks. And so people understood that. Second is the dogs. Folks, they didn't have, typically, your household pet. You know, the one running around inside the house that's got the collar on and looks real nice and somebody's taking it and giving it a bath and blow-dried its hair. They didn't have that. Dogs ran in the streets. Dogs were wild animals. They, too, were unclean. And so if you look at what Jesus is saying, he says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample you under their feet and turn, or trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Well, a pig is looking for food. And you know, those of you who've ever been around hogs know that a hog pen smells pretty good, and slop is what they tend to eat a lot of times on the old farms that I know about and was around growing up. What Jesus is trying to say is this. When he says, "Beware of these," he's referring to people. Some have said he's referring to the Gentiles. We know that's not true because Jesus intended for the church to reach the Gentiles as well. But that was one thing that was taught back after the church had gotten established and a little ways forward. What Jesus is saying is that there are persons, regardless of race, who have given clear evidence by their behavior that they reject the gospel. And they do so not just by saying, "I'm not interested, thank you, I really don't want to hear any more," but they do so with vicious scorn and even with hardened contempt. And there are actually people like that who have no use for the gospel, no use for you if you are a Christian, and they're going to let you know in no uncertain terms. All right? Why? Because Satan still rules the world, folks. And as long as he has some reign in this world, and until our Lord returns, there are going to be people like that. But it was a lesson that's not just taught here. Jesus teaches it on other occasions. One you'll find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. He says, "Whoever does not receive you," this is on the limited commission when he sends out the 70. He says, "Whoever does not receive you or heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet." You know, there were going to be people when those 70 went out preaching the coming of the kingdom that were not going to accept them. We're not going to receive them. We're going to reject them. And so his statement to them is, when you encounter people like this, shake the dust off your feet and go on your way. On another occasion, there were those who said something to Jesus about how the Pharisees had taken offense to some of the things he was teaching. And Jesus' statement concerning the Pharisees is, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." He says, don't get hung up on the Pharisees who are going to keep doing what they've always done. Okay? The early church encountered this, and especially Paul in his Gentile mission. If you will look at, and I've got these passages, when you look at, and I'm going to just walk through them quickly, but at Paul in Pisidian Antioch on his first missionary journey, there in Acts chapter 13. Now the first week, or the first Sabbath that he had gone and taught, there were several that had listened to what he had to say and wanted to hear more and came back the next week. But if you'll notice here, in verse 44, we find that the next Sabbath nearly the whole city assembles to hear the word of the Lord. But the Jews, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. They had become so angry with Paul that they were actually blaspheming God. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, verse 46, and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, that is, to the Jews. But since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Exactly what Jesus was talking about casting your pearls before swine and giving what is holy to dogs, those who do not want to accept it and are going to reject it. And then in Acts chapter 18, you have another situation with Paul at Corinth. And there, again, we find something similar happening. Silas and Timothy have come down from Macedonia. Paul began devoting himself completely to the teaching of the word. We see in verse 5, he's testifying to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But notice verse 6, "But when they," that is the Jews, "resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own hands. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" Don't cast what is holy to dogs. Don't put your pearls or give pearls to swine. And then in Acts chapter 28, Paul is at the end of his, I won't say the end of his life, but he's close to it. He's in Rome. He's there under house arrest. He is, the Jews of Rome have heard about him. They've come to listen to him and to hear what he has to say concerning this thing called the way. And what we find here is that he begins to speak to them. He has called them together. These are the leading men of the Jews. And he tells them, and yet what you find when you get down to verse 25 is that when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. He said, "The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears, with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen.'" So there again, he's turning away because they can't receive, they can't accept this holy message. They're trotting it underfoot. Two last passages I have here before you. One is from Paul's letter to Titus, in which he instructs Titus, "Reject a factitious man, or a factious man, after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned." Man that wants to just stir up trouble, he says, reject him. All he wants to do, he's self-condemned. And then Proverbs, Solomon actually said this years before. He says, "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." Folks, there are some that no matter how hard you try, they're going to reject you. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. And what I always try to say is leave the door open. Leave with a kind word. And maybe at some point in that person's life down the road, God may work to bring about a change of heart so that that individual may be open and receptive to the gospel. But my question to you is, are you or have you been receptive to the gospel? You know, as you saw Paul saying just a moment ago, Isaiah the prophet long ago had talked about those whose heart had become dull and their ears had reached a point where they didn't want to hear and they were closing their eyes to the truth of God's word. I pray that there's no one in this building tonight or listening to us this evening that is in that state. I pray that everyone has an open heart and an open mind and wants to know God's will and wants to honor that will in their own lives, and is willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, confess Him before this body of Christians, and be buried with Him in baptism. And if you are one of those people, He offers to you an invitation to come back home, an invitation to know the salvation that He extends to you through His Son, an invitation for eternal life. But it's got to be your decision.